Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
Getting a chance to talk indoor football today with the Bay Area Panthers head football coach, Kurt Bryan. How's it going, sir?
Going good, going good. We're excited for this week's game against the Arizona Rattlers at home.
Yeah, it's a chance, a rematch. You don't get that back-to-back very often. When the schedule comes out, you say, heck, these two guys back-to-back, man. But you're coming off a great experience at their place, at the Snake Pit, where you don't just leave with a moral victory, but think, you know what, we could beat these guys.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and appreciate that. You know, we went down there Memorial Day weekend, and our motto was to stand in the center of the ring, to use a boxing metaphor, and to trade punches the whole game. And no team backed off between the two gladiators in the ring, and they barely got us, and we're hoping to turn that around this week.
You know, one of the stats that kind of jumps out in the indoor league, unlike the outdoor game, time of possession doesn't mean anything. You know, the Rattlers are last in the league in time of possession. Then you've got Tucson just above them at 13. Frisco's up there too. So in your game with the Rattlers, they had it more than their average, around 31 minutes, basically splitting that time. So they have it more but do less with it. So what's the strategy in terms of slowing them down, maybe letting them have the ball, but use up a bunch of clock when they do have it?
So on the defensive side of the ball, we wanted to try to mitigate the damage that Powell could do with his legs and throwing the football against our defense. So that was step number one. And we did that. We definitely caused him fits. You know, he made some very nice plays, which he's going to do. He's a reigning MVP in the league. But we also had two potential interceptions right in our defensive back's hands. And normally they catch those footballs, but those two were not caught. That would have been a game changer, even to get one of those two. And then, you know, Coach Guy, he does like to balance it out. Powell does not go crazy throwing the football normally. He's not throwing it 35 times a game. He's more in the 19 to 25 times a game. So on the offensive side of the ball, we wanted to flip the script. We wanted to pound the rock, put ourselves in third and manageable situations, and then give Joe some time to throw. And fortunately, both of those things worked very well.
Outstanding performance. In fact, at the half, I'm sitting next to Darren Arbett doing the radio, and we look at each other at 14-7. Man, these guys can win this game. What point did you believe, or your guys believe during the week, that, you know what, this is not an impossible task?
Great question. So we thought that having our starting O-line in for the second game in a row for the first time all year would make a huge difference, and it did. You know, the Arizona Rattlers are the number one offense in the league and the number two ranked defense in the league, right behind Northern Arizona, who we played three times this year. So we felt that that we had been hardened a little bit facing Northern Arizona's defense three times, so that we were up to the task, if reasonably healthy, against Arizona. And then when I thought we could win the game, of course, you know, during the week in practice, but when I thought we could win the game was after the first series, we marched right down the field and scored the touchdown to open the game. I was like, okay, we got this, you know.
Rematch coming up June 4th at the SCP Center. Get your tickets, BayAreaPanthers.com. Now, maybe a wrinkle. I don't know if I'm giving this thing out, you know, to Kevin Guy, because I go to practice, so I watch. The wrinkle of maybe having Kurt Bryan at defensive end, which happened at the end of today's workout on Thursday. What was that about?
Well, you know, sometimes if your team is working hard and having fun and the attitude and the morale is good, then you can throw a biscuit in there. And so during my two different stints as the head coach at Piedmont, you know, we did something called fantasy football where, you know, the players and the coaches do a little touch football just for about 15 or 20 minutes. And seeing the most recent Top Gun movie, there is a beach football scene that reminded me of that I'd done several years ago at Piedmont. So I'd said, you know, let's do it today after practice. And the players loved it. Ricky McCoy was a team captain and Kamai Yates was a team captain. And there was only one rule. They had to draft the coaches first instead of all the players first, because it was a mix of players and coaches. So then instead of yours truly playing wide receiver and or quarterback, I was promoted, as I call it, to defensive end. And I got pancaked by Nicholas Brassel, who was playing right guard. So that was fun. It was great. I held my own out there, but also I got it handed to me a few times too. So it was a lot of fun, and the guys loved it.
I was asking you a couple of times earlier in this season. I said, hey, is part of your job psychiatrist, not just X's and O's and trying to, you know, get a few touchdowns, but you're keeping these guys positive. It's an expansion team. It's been a tough year, you know, 1-9, but the vibe around that practice field is pretty uplifting on a regular basis.
It is. And yeah, you know, as a head coach, definitely part of your job description is team psychologist, team psychiatrist. You know, we only meet for one of three or any combination of three reasons. And that is to motivate, stimulate, or educate the players. We never meet just to meet. So MSE, motivate, stimulate, educate. And obviously today was a combination of all three at the end of practice.
No doubt about it. And what's it mean to you, coach, to have the support of an organization starting at the very top with a guy like Roy Choi, Scott McKibben, when we're, you know, building something from the ground up like this?
Sure. I mean, anytime you're a head coach, whether it's at the high school, college, or pro level, it all starts with the top, like you mentioned. And if you have a supportive administration, let's just call it that, right? It makes all the difference in the world. And if you don't have a supportive administration, then it's a living hell. And so what you have to do is you have to communicate what you're doing, why you're doing it, and or who you're doing it with in terms of player personnel or coaching, et cetera. And then when the questions do come back to you, hey, why are you doing this? Or I liked what you did. Can we do more of that? You have to have the correct answer. And if you don't know, then you also have to say, you know, I'm researching that and I'll get back to you.
The support also, I think, comes at home. I remember before the first game, you said, hey, I gave my wife some flowers. I'm good. And so, you know, you're ready to take on this challenge of being at the office and working all the time. What's that mean to you to have, you know, someone rooting for you back at home?
Yeah. So my wife, Miss Dolly, she's the greatest, right? And she gets it. She's all in. You know, she does a great job at her job for Alameda County. She's just a fantastic worker and teammate. But then when we were able to achieve this dream and she saw what it was going to take, and then the pandemic hit and killed it. And then obviously Roy brought us back. Then she said, okay, let's just enjoy every moment. And hopefully it'll last for a long time. And then it'll be someone else's turn. So we're going to enjoy every moment.
Where does that positivity come from for you on a regular basis? The glass is half, but sometimes it's maybe three quarters empty, but you got that quarter part that's full.
You know, being 57 years old, so every day is a miracle when you wake up. And, you know, growing up, we all have our challenges as young children, no matter where you come from, it's not always easy. And so, you know, my twin brother and I were able to overcome some things with my wonderful mom until she met what I call the prince, who raised us with my mom, my stepdad, George K., who's now in heaven. So overcoming some incredibly dire circumstances when we were, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old and a little bit beyond that when it was just my mom and Keith and I. And then I remember deciding as probably 5 years old that I'm not going to let anything get me down for too long, because I knew I wanted to be a coach when I was a little kid at 5 or 6 years old. I just didn't know the words for it. I used to organize football games, and I can tell that story too sometime if you want. But that was, I remember being back then that I wasn't going to let anything get me down for too long.
I remember you saying the story you told me as a high school coach one time that when you came up with the A11 offense, and that's kind of what put you on the map around 2007, I believe. So how did that come about? What were you thinking? And, you know, what were you trying to get out of that?
So it was a cold, rainy December night in 2006, and we had lost a very tough playoff game to Miramonte, one of the most physical games I'd ever seen at any level, just brutal. And I went over to my offensive coordinator's place in San Francisco, Steve Humphreys, who he and I created the A11 offense together humbly. And I walked in, and up on the grease board, the whiteboard, was a center, a guard on each side, three receivers to the left, three receivers to the right, and two quarterbacks in the shotgun formation. And I was like, wow, okay. And I looked at it, and then we had an adult beverage, and we were talking. And about an hour later, I said, Steve, I like the two quarterback idea, but what if everybody was a game breaker, the other nine guys? And he said, that's a great idea. So we got the rule book out. We went through the rule book for 2 days, and we thought that we found the answer. We then created this whole package, which is now known as the A11 offense, and we sent everything in to the National High School Federation and then at the state level. And after a few months, it got approved, and then we went for it, and the rest literally is history.
And you said an alcoholic beverage or an adult beverage. You had to have more than one to come up with something like that. That's a at least that's a couple of six packs worth to come up with some crazy stuff like that.
You know, my silence can never be misquoted. Yeah, but it was definitely a wild experience. And we never expected it to go the way it went. You know, especially in that 07 season, Dave, we started 0-2. And, you know, they were coming at me with pitchforks and graffiti. And it was just madness. But the principal called me before our third game. He said, what do you need? I said, one more week. We're almost there. We went on the road, we got the win in the rain and won seven in a row, made the playoffs all of a sudden. ESPN, New York Times, they're all showing up. It was crazy for the next 2 years. Yeah.
As for your current edition with the Bay Area Panthers, hey, what are the goals that you're shooting for? Obviously, you want to win the day, win the week, one by one. What about the rest of the way? What are you shooting for to finish up the season in year number one?
So we want to win every day in practice. I'm what's known as an over communicator. So the players never have to wonder what I'm thinking or how I'm feeling. They know it's all about them, but the staff is human too. So don't mistake our kindness for weakness. So that's our approach, is we want to always make sure they know what, how, and why we're doing something. So win the day, win the week, and then obviously win every game. I've never met a coach or a player that practices to lose. So we're all practicing to win. And when things don't go your way, Dave, we can either change what we're doing, change how we're doing it, and or change who we're doing it with. That's my mantra. What, how, who. And sometimes it's a combination of all three, and sometimes it's one or two of the three. And that was self-evident on Sunday night in Arizona, where we almost got the win against the best team in the league.
The motto with the program is performance, class, and culture. You know, where do you get that? Where did that come from?
So if you have too many rules, the players can't remember them. You know, what is that, rule 27 or item 27? So during the pandemic, we had a lot of time to think and grow a beard and get your hair long and all that other stuff that happened during the pandemic.
You have any pictures of that?
When Royce, huh?
You have any pictures of that with the beard, long hair?
I do. Yes. Okay. I have one. Yeah.
Gnarly.
Yeah. My wife said I look like Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Can't wait
to
show
that to you. So when Roy said he was bringing us back, and also just a great job by Scott McKibben during that hellish period of keeping the body alive, you know, keeping the Panthers alive and coming here every day. So I said, okay, what are we going to do differently than we did in 2020? Well, performance has always got to be number one, right? Class, of course, how you're doing things and how you're behaving, and then culture. What are you putting into the team and the franchise? But also, what types of withdrawals are you making? So as a player or a coach, when your emotional bank account is getting low, it's okay to reach into the piggy bank of the team and get some help. That could be one-on-one help, talking with a coach or a Jerry Bezzetta, one of our motivational helpers there. Great guy. Your position coach, the coordinator, or my door is always open as the head coach. But also, what are you putting in? If you're only making withdrawals, then it becomes a one-sided or one-way relationship, and that's not going to work, Dave. It's got to be a two-way street. So
that's just like a real life, right? Human relationships, whether it's, you know, husband and wife, with your kids, whatever.
Yeah. We have a saying, and I say it all the time, and that is people first, players second. And, you know, my guys know it. They get it, right? We care about the person and then the player. And they really do believe in that, because you can hear them echoing certain things or buzzwords or mantras that we say. You can hear them telling that to each other at various points throughout the season.
Right. No, that sounded good. One clap if you got me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, where did that come from?
Yeah. So when I was the wide receivers coach at St. Mary's College under Tim Landis, right? At the 1AA level, independent, that was a great 3 years. So Tim used to do the clap, right? And I thought, that's good. I'm going to borrow that, right? So then when I came back and became the head coach at Piedmont for the second time, I was like, you know, one clap is good. I'm going to go two claps if it's really good. And then everybody wants three claps, right? So the goal is to get three claps on something, right? And then we invented the air clap during 2020. And the air clap is when a coach or a player does something that, you know, usually it's pretty funny, but they shouldn't do it. Then we give them an air clap. So yeah. I remember one player back in 2020, he'd been working hard all through training camp, and he got his first three claps almost the last day. He goes, that's my first three claps. So the guys want, you know, the ultimate reward, right? So it's good.
Hey, coming up, a great opportunity. How do you like your chances Saturday against the Rattlers, part two at the SAP Center?
Part two, yeah. Yeah, part two. I like it. You know, the Rattlers are going to be ready for us even more so this time. You know, obviously they knew they were in a dogfight from the opening bell on Memorial Day weekend. We added a couple new wrinkles. So, you know, we're excited to see how that goes. We have a couple of injuries, nothing like we had during the first part of the season. We're going to have one key player out for this game, but we feel very confident that the guy that we have is going to do the job there. And the guys are excited. Our trainer, Miss Carrie, she was talking to me after the game in the coach's locker room down in Phoenix. And, you know, again, no one wants to not win. But she told me, she said, KB, these guys are happy. They knew they had a chance, a legitimate chance to win that game throughout the whole game. So keep doing what you're doing. So it was nice to hear that.
You know, it's a fun product to watch. 8-on-8, the indoor game of the SAP Center. Get your tickets, BayAreaPanthers.com. Hey, I really enjoyed this. I'm going to give you the three claps. How was that?
Thank you. I'll take it. Thank you.
I don't give out three. Where you got to earn it. You know, I mean, sometimes it's a one clapper. I've had air clap interviews. This one was a three clapper.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And look forward to listening to more of your show. And anytime you want us on, let us know. But really appreciate the support, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Kurt. Appreciate your time.
All right. Go Panthers, baby.
That's Kurt Bryan, head coach of the Bay Area Panthers of the Indoor Football League. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. You can subscribe to The Dave Lewis Show on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. Your five-star reviews, the positive comments are huge. They really help out a lot. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.